We're going to go a little deeper. We're going to talk about meditation. Lhotse is not a contemplator. He does not contemplate. He observes, he watches the cycle of life. All things arise in unison, he says. Thereby we see their return. All things flourish, and each returns to its source. When we lose our footing in our life, it is because we forgot how the cycle works. Spring turns into summer, summer turns into fall, fall turns into winter. The cycle not just of the seasons, but the cycle of life itself. We miss because we do not respect the cycle. Our body goes through cycles. It is said every 7 years, our body changes. Hence, the chemistry in our body changes. What was beautiful once long ago is no longer the same to us. It is not beautiful anymore. It is different. Things change. So Lhotse is saying, returning to the source is stillness. It is returning to one's fate. Returning to one's fate is eternal. Knowledge of the eternal is realization. What is our fate? You will never know it until you and I return to source. I had a student years ago. He was with me for a long time. But he never got it. He was an intellect. And he was severe, very severe with himself. His wife was very severe. Catholic. So there were many things that were in the way. So in our final session together, he asked me, what is the reason for living? I don't see it. He would go on and on with how things rise and fall, rise and fall. Nothing stayed the same. We live in impermanence. And he would talk about that and how unfair he thought that was, or silly or nonsensical. He was a mathematician, a technician, a quasi-pseudo-scientist. And I would say to him, everything is about returning to source. This is the Tao. When you get confused, when you get difficult with yourself, severe, sit with yourself and watch how things come into existence, rise, flourish, and then return to source. If you keep watching this, you will understand your fate, my fate. That there is something that we are subjected to, the process of living, that returns us to the eternal. But we have so many questions, intellectual questions. I like to taunt my students to see if they have any sense of the direction I'm trying to help them with, and they don't. They never get it. They're intellectual. Let me give you a little story. There was a monk that went to the Buddha, Mahakassapa. He had many questions about life and truth and what the meaning of our living was, what our fate and our destiny is. The Buddha said, if you really want your questions to be answered, I mean really, he said, for 2 years you must sit silently by my side. And don't ask anything. Just observe. Observe how I talk to my students. Observe the differences in their questions. Just observe. And then after 2 years, I will answer your question. Mahakassapa was one of Buddha's greatest disciples. He felt embarrassed by what Buddha had said. As people do with me when I say it's all about returning to source. So, he agreed to sit by the Buddha and just observe. People would come to the Buddha and ask questions. Mahakassapa would just listen. After about a year of hearing the futile questions that people were asking of the Buddha, Mahakassapa started laughing uproariously. A man asked the Buddha a question, and Mahakassapa was just rolling on the ground laughing. The man asked, why are you laughing? Mahakassapa said, oh, he deceived me too. I warn you, he said, if you want your question answered, ask it right now. Ask him to give you an answer. Because if he says to you, after 2 years, you will not be able to ask a question, just to sit there, you won't have any questions after 2 years. They slowly disappear because, Mahakassapa said, they are not relevant to your soul. So if you have real questions, please beg the Buddha to give you the answer. Because after 2 years, I promise you, they will disappear. Well, the man walked away, disgruntled and unhappy. 2 years passed, and Buddha asked, where are you, Mahakassapa? I'm ready to answer your questions. A new man had come from within Mahakassapa. And he looked at his master and said, forgive me. My questions were deceiving. They really weren't questions from my heart. They were just intellectual queries. I have no questions. They are ridiculous. Forgive me, he said. Now I know why you insisted on silence. He said, the mind becomes completely silent, and when that happens, there are no questions. Lhatsa put it this way, attain utmost emptiness, abide in steadfast stillness. All things rise in unison, thereby we see their return, all things flourish, and each returns to its source. There is a beautiful cycle of life. And if I am empty without assumption and presumption, if I can go beyond my questions and my mind, I will see the cycle of life, how things rise and how things fall. When you understand how things come into question, into being, and how ridiculous our minds are, how absurd they are, ill-tempered, we can understand why we cannot understand. We are not in the presence of our silence. Most people are overread and underdone. What they read, they cannot understand, and what they read, like Sapolsky or Noah in his beautiful book, Sapiens, they merely ignore, because the only thing that matters to them is their own thoughts, their own beliefs. The mind is constantly pounding us to believe in certain ways, to think in a certain way. Every thought has to bring us to some conclusion. So in that, we miss. We miss the substance of our life, the significance of our living. We are more impressed by our thoughts than we are by the cycle of life, by our emptiness. It is my emptiness that should move me. But no. If left alone to Greg, it is only his thoughts. His thoughts are familiar to his severity of himself. Every thought makes a question. Did you ever wonder why you have so many questions or none at all? It is because of your mind. We live by the capabilities of our intellect, not the stature of our virtue. And because we live as such, we do not return to source. Returning to the source is a stillness, a matter of stillness. But we miss. Meditation is about sitting without question. It is about understanding the nature of all things as it rises and falls. When you and I can go beyond the confines of our severe minds that are seeking answers to things that are not relevant to our life, it is in that moment that we find significance. Mahakasap found it. He was humble enough, modest enough, to understand how he had missed. 2 years he sat by the Buddha, doubting, fearing, being angry, filled with questions, until in the silence, everything was realized. He attained to the uppermost emptiness by abiding in steadfast stillness. In your stillness, you will realize your inner strength, your goodness, the things that look like weakness to your mind will become those things that awaken you to your heart, your soul, and will become your essential fate in this world and in the universe. You are not a man or a woman. You are not an entity. You are love. You are life. But your mind cannot contain this. It cannot analyze this. It cannot realize this. The mind is very selfish. It can only understand itself. It has its own glossary, its own dictionary. And in that, it can only think by and for itself. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. We think by how we have been influenced in our mind, through our bodies, how to live our life, what to believe in, what to think, what is true, what is not true. Can you just sit, putting aside everything that you think you know, for the sake of not knowing, watching just how your thoughts come into existence, how they rise, and then how they fall? Can you sit and watch this? Just watching. We'll do this in our meditation together. Just watching. Watching what makes a thought. Thoughts are made based on emotional needs, desires. In meditation, thoughts are not necessary. Not at all. And that's why you find it difficult to truly meditate. Students come to me in session work. They make no progress at all. Their pride, their vanity, their ego is far more important to them. They're looking for something to adorn their ego, not something that would liberate them from their ego. So they miss. They create more and more circumstances and conditions, consequences. Hence, they have many questions, as did Mahakasap. But if you sit in your stillness, your emptiness inside, if you make that the posture of your withinness, you will have no more questions. You will see how questions have betrayed your purpose. They're just side paths. And even when they're answered, and I've answered every one of my students' questions intellectually, it still does no good. They gather information, but do not come for the sake of wisdom. They miss. Right before them is a teacher that is there to help them beyond their knowledge, to bring them to the fate and the destiny of their eternal self, a self that does not exist as a man or a woman, but as the state of being that is their soul. You are not a self. You are the soul of your own existence. You are not an individual. You are one in the whole. Sit with me, and let's just do this. just sit away from your thoughts and watch them come. They will rise. They will confuse. They will lay their devastation upon you, their consequence, and then they will fall away and there will be another one right after it. Just sit and watch the cycle of your mind. Much can be gained by just watching and observing, non-judgmental.